Bibles tonight, if you will, please. Let's go to two portions of Scripture as we think about tomorrow being Thanksgiving. Let's go to Psalms chapter number 100. Psalms chapter number 100. And then when you have your place there, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The title of the message tonight is A Life of Thanksgiving. Not Thanksgiving, but Thanksgiving. And I believe tonight that the Bible teaches us that true thanksgiving manifests itself in our daily thankful living. And so we want to look at some of those things tonight. I trust you'll follow along. In Psalms chapter 100, beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God? It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." I just want to give you some highlights of this. I was going to preach on Psalms 100, and I had a message already, and God says, "No, that's not what I want." But he said, "You can include it if you want to." So don't anyone take your watch out and wave it, please. But we'll not spend very much time with this, I promise. But notice this. In these five verses, there's less negative said than I think of any chapter in the Bible, maybe. There's nothing negative said here. Nothing. Nothing. God is just positive, 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 positive. And I want you to know God wants to be positive with us. But I want you to know, too, that it takes some negative for anything to work. Your car won't work without some negative. Your electric lights won't work without some negative. We need some negative in our lives. But there is no negative right here. Secondly, I see in this portion of Scripture five commandments. Five commands that God gives us here in order for us to be thankful and be happy. He tells us in verse number 1, he says, "Make a joyful noise." There's a verb giving us a command. And then he tells us serve. Serve. Without serving, we're not going to be happy. When we're thankful, we're happy. And when we're thankful, we serve better. So he says, serve. And then he says, come in verse number 2. And then, let's see, he says in verse number 3, "Know ye the Lord, that it is God that he has made us and not we ourselves." And so he says there's some things we need to know. And then he says in verse number 4, he says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving." And so God gives us some commands here. And if we'll do those five things, I believe it'll help us to be grateful, thankful. I think it will be appreciative of what God has asked us to do. And I believe we'll have a good time in the Lord. And that's the next thing. We find that the Lord's desire is for us to be happy. In verse number 1, he says, joyful. In verse number 2, he says, gladness. In verse number 2, he speaks of singing. And in verse number 4, he speaks of praise. And so when somebody tells you God is against you having a good time, you tell them they're serving the wrong God. Because the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to have good things. He wants to give us good things. He says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk upright. And then one other thing before we leave this portion of Scripture, he tells us in verse number 1 that this is for the people of all ye lands. This is for everybody. This is for every person. This isn't a black issue, white issue, a brown issue, yellow issue. This isn't a feminine issue or a male issue. This isn't an American issue or an Aborigine issue. This is for every land. God's work works wherever we'll work God's work. It works wherever there's people at. And then not only does he tell us that it's for all lands, but he tells us in verse number 5 that it's going to last for all generations, so it's still good for us today. Amen. We're still in that lasting generation. And so I'm grateful that God allowed me to see those things, and I'm glad to share those with you. Now, if you will, please, in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5, we'll notice a couple of other things before we go home and get ready to eat turkey tomorrow. How many of you are having turkey tomorrow? Oh, you are what you eat. Oh, my goodness. I don't know what that means. I want to eat. All right. I'm gonna eat turkey. Amen. Okay. Verse number 16 of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. The Bible says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so we need to understand some things about this thankful life and a life of thanks living and not just thanksgiving. Thanksgiving usually comes once a year. Thanksgiving ought to take place every day, several times during the day. We ought to look for opportunity to thank the Lord instead of opportunities to complain about something. I read somewhere the other day that God said that complaining about things, I read something the other day, somebody said, I don't know if God should get the credit for it or not, but he said that the person I was reading after said that complaining is a mark of pride in your life. And I thought, oh my goodness, if that's true, I must be one of the proudest men that ever lived. And these six things doth the Lord hate. Amen, a proud look. And so I really began to look at that, and I thought, you know, I don't have to complain about as many things as I do. And when I don't complain, I have a tendency to be more thankful. And so I'm grateful for the way that God is still teaching this old dog some new tricks and teaching me how to walk in the Word, live in the Word, read the Word, believe the Word, apply the Word, and be thankful for it. And so I want to look at some things that are mentioned here, suggested here with what we've already looked at, that would help us maybe to have a better tomorrow and a better all of our tomorrows until the day we meet the Lord Jesus and stand before Him. Now that's assuming that you know Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. If you don't know Christ, you can still be thankful because the invitation is still open. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you shall find rest unto your souls. I don't know why, when a person hears how to be saved, why they wouldn't run to Christ and be so thankful that they had the opportunity to. So assuming that you're saved tonight, assuming that you're on your way to heaven, and knowing that if you're not, you can be, the first thing the Bible instructs us here in verse number 16 is to rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. Not just when things are going good, not just when the White House went the way you wanted it to go, not just when you got a raise, not when you just got a new job, not just when all the bills are paid and everything's going right, but the Bible says rejoice evermore. That means all the time. God has given us so much to rejoice over. And I just believe if we'd do more rejoicing and less complaining, it would probably help us to have a better outreach for the cause of Christ. Rejoice is found in your New Testament 42 times at least, in 41 different verses. It's found at least 183 times in the Bible. And I believe that God is really interested in us rejoicing. But this isn't just a ha, 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 rejoice. This isn't just, you know, just a laugh-a-day kind of a joy. This is a kind of a rejoicing that causes other people to rejoice. You know, sometimes the things that we laugh about, the things that we find humor in, the things that we find that are comically acceptable and comically satisfying to us are offensive to other people. And the kind of rejoicing that God is talking about here is a rejoicing that when I'm doing this kind of rejoicing, it causes other people to rejoice too. Makes all the difference in the world. And so the Bible says that we're supposed to rejoice. And could I suggest to you that rejoice is a choice? We choose to rejoice or we choose to be sour. They used to say all the time, he looks like he's been weaned on a dill pickle or sucking on a lemon and baptized in persimmon juice or something. I mean, just all the time upset about something. And the Bible testifies for us to rejoice is a choice. You see, we either say yay or nay in the business of rejoicing. If we say, okay, I'm going to rejoice, then we have been obedient. If we say, no, I refuse to rejoice, nobody knows the trouble I've been in. Nobody knows the heartache I've seen. Nobody knows. And that might be true except for the Lord. He understands, and He's the one that wrote it. I didn't write it. He wrote it. Rejoice evermore. And so if we rejoice, we're being obedient. If we don't rejoice, we're being disobedient, and disobedience is a sin. Disobedience is a sin. The fact is, if I'm not mistaken, Samuel told Saul that disobedience was rebellion, and rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And so we're supposed to be an obedient people. We're supposed to rejoice. Now, the Lord's instruction here is to rejoice always, rejoice evermore. Not just on Mondays when we go back to work, or not just on Saturday when we get off work, not just at certain particular times. And I'll be the first one to admit that sometimes it's easier to rejoice, it seems like, than it is other times, unless we're rejoicing in the Lord. If we're rejoicing in the Lord, He's the same all the time. What we'd call good times, bad times, in between times, foreign times, present times, past times, future times, He's the same all the time. And so He tells us to rejoice evermore. Now I want to share this thought with you. We've looked at part of this before at one time, but I think it's pertinent to what we're saying. I think that not rejoicing can be very dangerous. Now, we think that COVID is dangerous, and I'm not making light of that. Listen, I lost a very good friend and a very close brother to COVID. And I'm not making a joke out of COVID. But we think that COVID is tough, and we think that COVID is rough and dangerous on us. And it is, and we don't take it lightly. We do try to take measures, and that's why they walked around with the microphone tonight, and I said, no, don't touch it. They'll hold it for you. That's why we did that, because we're trying to take some precautions. But listen, not rejoicing has dangerous side effects too. Let me read this to you. In Joel chapter number 1, beginning in verse number 11, the Bible says, "Be ye ashamed, O ye husbandmen, howl, O ye wine dressers, for the wheat and the barley, because the harvest of the field is perished. The vine is dried up, and the fig tree languisheth, the pomegranate tree and the palm tree also, and the apple tree, even all the trees of the field are withered, because joy is withered away from the sons of men." You know, I was just reading that and I thought, I'm sure glad all the apple trees didn't wither up and die a year ago. My wife has made me about four large apple pies just of late. Oh my goodness, they're dangerous to eat those things. If you get them close to your forehead, your tongue will beat your brains out trying to get to them. And so I'm grateful that they haven't withered. But there was a time that they had. Every crop in the field had failed. Everything was disastrous in every aspect, in every look. And of course, while some people would say, well, let's give some kind of a stimulus package to these farmers, these husbandmen, because they're going through a rough time. And God says, no, 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 no. It's the husbandman's fault that it's that way. Why? Because joy is withered from the sons of men. Do you understand what God is saying? God says that when you rejoice, you choose to rejoice. You make the choice to rejoice. The Bible says it's profitable to you. It's financially profitable for you. It's more comforting to you. We don't just start giggling and laughing just for the fun of it. We don't do that just giggling and laughing, but to rejoice and to enjoy life and to enjoy Christ and to enjoy God's people and to enjoy God's word and enjoy fellowship and to people, talking to people about Christ. When we enjoy that, it's profitable to us in every area of our life. And when we don't do that, every area of our life suffers. It suffers when we don't do that. And then here's another verse along the same line. It's good even in bad times to praise the Lord. In Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning in verse number 17, the Bible says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom," and could I share with you, no blossom, no fruit. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the herd, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation." Let me back up, I see where I missed a word. It says, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, not the herd, not the stall. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. And so here Habakkuk says, listen, it can't get bad enough for me financially for me not to rejoice in the Lord. It can't get bad enough for me not to rejoice in the Lord. He says, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And there again, God reminds us that if we're going to claim this, if we're going to look at this and ask God to do this for us, he has to be the God of our salvation. Not just the God of mama's salvation, not just the God of grandpa's salvation, not just the God of the neighbor's salvation, not just the God of those people that go down there to that church, but he has to be our God, the God of our salvation, of my salvation. Is Jesus the God of your salvation? If he is, Habakkuk said, there's not enough bad that can happen that ought to be able to cause us not to rejoice. Oh, now that slaps the responsibility on us, doesn't it? And so we need to understand we're to rejoice evermore. And then the second thing he says here is we're supposed to pray continually. Pray continually. Paul said, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Now, someone says, well, how in the world do you just pray all the time, all the time, all the time? I think you're in an attitude of prayer. Just like if you were walking somewhere with somebody, you'd listen to them, they'd listen to you, you'd listen to them, you'd listen to you. You may go for a while listening, you may go for a while musing over what was said and thinking about what was said, but you're always in this attitude of prayer. And I did some searching on this word continually, and it means as the ocean is continually rolling its waves on the shore. And so one comes up and it goes back. It comes up and it goes back. And so we're supposed to listen to the Lord and talk to him. In Luke chapter 18, verse number 1, Jesus said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end. Here's the purpose of the parable Jesus is going to speak, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. You know, when you have fainted, pretty hard to rejoice. And if you can't rejoice, how can you thank the Lord? How can a heart that's been disappointed in Christ, how can it be a rejoicing heart? And so the Bible says here that we're to pray and not faint. I believe what he's telling us that is if we'll just get plugged into the Lord Jesus right, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, if we'll get hooked up to him right and we're talking to him, it'll be almost impossible for us to faint. It'd be almost impossible for us to quit. You know, the devil has devised the way that he wants your demise to take place. He wants to kill you. He wants to destroy you. What he'd really like to do is just destroy your testimony, let you go ahead and live and prove that Jesus can't do what he says he's going to do. And so we need to pray always. We need to talk to the Lord all the time so that when something comes up, we talk to him about it. We get his counsel. Brother James mentioned getting counsel from his parents. His parents get counsel from the Lord. Hallelujah. What a good thing that is. And we need to be people who will do that. And so the Bible says, pray continually. Pray without ceasing. When you think of Romans chapter 12 and verse number 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And so here the Apostle Paul is assuming that these folk had been praying. He says, so continue to do that. Continue to be instant in prayer. And then I think of Peter, you know, when Peter was out on that ship and the Lord came walking to him on the water. I hear preachers say that Peter should have never gotten out of the boat. Well, excuse me, if he wasn't supposed to get out of the boat, Jesus caused him to sin when he invited him to come to him. That's my position. Now, if you can show me wrong from the Bible, fine, but don't just say I'm wrong because Pastor so-and-so said I was wrong. Jesus said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come. And Jesus said, come. Amen. And he did. Amen. And he walked out to the Lord Jesus, and a lot of people make fun of him because he sank. He walked further than I've ever walked. And I've never gotten used to practicing in the bathtub. It just always seemed to me like there's something different about practicing in the bathtub and practicing off the shore off the edge of a fishing boat somewhere. So he walks out there. He's talking to the Lord. And then he defied science. Now, a lot of people are pushing science today. He defied science. You say, how did he do that? Because the Bible says Peter saw the wind. Now, it doesn't say he saw the results of the wind. He saw The wind. It doesn't say he saw dust in the wind. It doesn't say he saw water spray in the wind. It said he saw the wind. Now, do we believe in the Bible or not? Amen. He saw the wind, boisterous, the Bible says, and he began to sink. Now, if he'd been like most Baptists, and I believe he was a Baptist, if he'd been like most Baptists, he'd have had to say, well, now listen, before the Lord's going to hear me, I've got to confess all this sin. And he'd have started out, he'd have been under the water. But he said, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down by his hand and caught him and picked him up. And guess how they got back to the ship? Now, they walked on the water back to the ship because Peter knew how to pray instantly. And so the Bible says that we as God's people ought to pray without ceasing. We ought to be able to get a hold of God in a moment's notice. Sometimes we don't have all the time that we'd like to have. Sometimes it's just a moment of time and we have to have his attention. We have to be speaking to him. And so we need to stay in contact with him and we need to make short accounts on sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth not in us. But we may need to make short accounts of sin. And when we sin, we need to talk to the Lord about it and to anybody else we need to talk to. We need to talk to them about it, get it taken care of so that our prayer connection is not stopped, so we can continue to be joyous and happiest and happy in the Lord and be in receiving his blessings. And then the third thing it mentions here, the Bible says that we are to in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I hear people say often, I wish I knew what the will of God is. I don't know what the exact, specific, different will of God is from you than Mr. Smith. But I know it's God's will that you be thankful. I know it's God's will that you be thankful. In everything give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So it's God's will that you give thanks. It's God's will that I give thanks. And here's a thought for you. You can't do for me what God expects me to do for me. And I can't do for you what God wants you to do for you. Sometimes parents get that mixed up with their kids. We try to do for our kids things that God says, no, if they don't do it, it'll never help them. If you do it for them, they'll never get past this. You need to leave them do that, allow them to do that by themselves. And so the Bible says here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know, when I look at the Bible, great men in the Bible were men of prayer. Great ladies in the Bible were ladies of prayer. They just prayed all the time. Hannah prayed. You know, she prayed so much that as she was there at the altar, Eli thought that she was drunk. He saw her lips moving and didn't hear her saying anything and thought that she was drunk. She was talking to the Lord about a son that he gave her in answer to that prayer, by the way. Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus, prayed. Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, prayed. And so these ladies were real prayer people. I can't believe that Mary Magdalene wasn't a real prayer warrior. We had men that were prayer warriors, too. Job was a prayer warrior. And of course, after losing everything, now go through the accounting of what he lost. He lost all of his wealth. I mean, he lost his cows. He lost his donkeys. He lost his boys. He lost his houses. He lost everything. Even the respect of his wife, he lost. And in spite of having lost all those things, when he started talking to the Lord, he was still talking to him respectfully. Remember that he's just a man and God's still God. Not holding God responsible for having taken that. So he still talked to him very respectfully. Daniel was a man of prayer. Great man of prayer. And of course, so was Joseph. Joseph's one of my favorite biblical characters. And Joseph was a great man of prayer. So here's a couple of verses for us to close on tonight. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 18, we just read. But in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Not just tomorrow. And I'm already thankful for tomorrow. I know some of our plans for tomorrow. I'm already thankful for tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be thankful for tomorrow. But the Bible says, in everything give thanks. That means my tomorrow, my day after tomorrow, my day after that, the day after that, the day after that. We're supposed to be thankful in everything. And then in Ephesians chapter 5, and verse number 20, God tightens it up a little bit more. He says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it's one thing to give thanks in trouble. It's another thing when you give thanks for the trouble. But you know, the Lord only sends trouble into our life, and I'm not kicking the devil. I'm not daring Satan. I'm gotten over that. When I was licensed for the ministry, clear back way when, they asked me what I thought about the devil, and I said, I hate him. And I said, I hope one day that my ministry is so used of God that he'll quit bothering everybody else and just pay attention to me. Well, I've taken that back several times. I'm not kicking the devil. I'm not trying to say that I'm, you know, he can do whatever he wants to do. I hide in Christ all the time from the devil. I get behind him and let him answer the door when the devil knocks. But I know this. I know that there's never been a trouble coming to my life. And I could go back and I can name a whole bunch of them. And let me just tell you honestly, many of the problems I've been through, I don't want to go through again. I learned some things. I was taught some things. God worked in my life, and they were good for me. But I don't want to go through some of those things again. But the Bible still says, in the very middle of those things, in those things, what is it our verse says again? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When I came to the conclusion that the Lord Jesus loves me, period, I can't do anything to make him love me more, and I can't do anything to make him love me less. He loves me. You say, how do you know that? Because he sent the Lord Jesus to die on a cross for me. He loves me. He loves me. He sent the Holy Ghost of God to come and to indwell in me and to speak to my heart and to woo me when I'm getting away from him and to applaud me when I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. But his love for me doesn't change. It's the same. It's like everything else about Jesus. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because I know he loves me, I've come to the conclusion that whatever he allows to come into my life, it's not in spite of his love for me. It's because he loves me. And he wants to bring me from where I'm at to where he wants me to be. One of these days, this thought will surprise some people, one of these days I'm going to be exactly like Jesus. Now, right now I know I'm a long ways from being there, but I'm on my way. And the things that I have shook my head and said, God, I don't understand this, and why, and why, and why, and got angry at God, and just did everything I should have done, and nothing I should have done probably. But I've come to realize that he didn't send me troubles because he didn't love me. He sent me troubles because he did love me. And it really is true. It really is true. It was quoted during the prayer meeting tonight. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And tonight we may not understand a lot of things, but he loves us. He really does. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 2, says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. And so tonight my prayer for Bethel Baptist Church and for my friends of this church, my family, my friends of my family, is that our love for the Lord Jesus Christ will so move us that we'll come to a place where it's just natural to have thanks, a thanks living life, to where we go through life saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you trusted me with that. Whether the world would say it's good or bad, thank you that you trusted me with that. Lord, don't let me let you down. I'm thankful for your working in my life. You know, God could have just let us go on our way, dumb and happy, let us die and go to hell. But he came into our life, he interrupted our life, said, stop and listen to me. The Holy Ghost of God knocked on our heart's door and said, if you'll open your door and allow me to, I'll come in. I'll sup with you and you with me. Confess to me that you're a sinner, just agree with the charge and that you believe Jesus died and rose again for you, and I'll come into your heart, I'll save you, I'll give you eternal, everlasting, shall never perish life, and old things will pass away, and all things will become new. And we ought to become a thankful people because of what Jesus has already done for us and ours. Bethel Baptist Church, bow your heads tonight, please. God bless you tonight.